Corinthians 5 and verse 7. What we're really talking about is getting a wholesome way of thinking, changing the way we think. There's a problem that happens to people because we're in certain settings. Sometimes we begin to adopt the ways of the world. How many of you have known that for a long time? It's real easy to do. And this was the problem with the children of Israel in Egypt. We think about them being there, and I think most of us have the idea that they, you know, that they were just a little group of people that they're, well, they had become a group of around 3 million. Some people say more than that. This was a huge community that was down there, and they weren't all just in one area. They had actually moved out into different neighborhoods. And the word that we use to describe what had happened to them was that they began to assimilate. They began to assimilate. And that is a problem with us as believers in the Lord Jesus, is that if we don't watch ourselves, we will assimilate. How many of you remember a time in your life when you were so focused on the things of the Lord that nothing else meant anything? Maybe you'd just gotten born again, but how many would also say that there have been times in your life when you have wandered a little bit from that? You begin to let other things kind of take over, and then you have to kind of readjust. And the Bible says that'll happen to us. It says we're supposed to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and take into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Messiah. But it's a job when you live in the midst of things. And you know, our information systems today are unbelievable, really. What did the Bible say in Daniel? Knowledge shall be increased. Well, we think about that sometimes as being, say, scientific knowledge or technological knowledge. Now, technological knowledge has been party to this, but the point is that we know about a lot of things that if you'd lived on the farm when I was growing up, you wouldn't have known about them very fast. You know what I'm talking about? I've been around long enough that, you know, we had a house with no TV antenna on it. Well, in fact, we had a house with no bathroom inside. We had a house with no water running inside, as a matter of fact. Now, I think probably I'm not as old as that sounds, though. You know, just don't get in your mind that I'm as old as that sounds, that there were people around that did have those things at that time, but we just didn't happen to have them when I was growing up. For, a number of years. It was during my growing up time that I remember, the first thing I remember was my dad dug a new hole for a new outhouse. That was the first thing. And I thought we were uptown when we got a new outhouse. The door stayed closed, you know, and everything. That was neat. And then I remember when they ran a pipe that ran over to the house and let water come into the house, and then they drained it back out. And I guess they put a septic tank in at that time. I remember those things happening, you know. I remember when my uncle bought a television set, and then he went to work in construction, and so he brought his television out to store at our house for us. You know, we had to store my uncle's TV, and we had this TV set with an antenna up on the roof that brought in mostly snow. You know, you could just barely see the picture for the snow, but I watched some things. But we didn't get much knowledge out of that kind of stuff. I remember watching the Friday night fights and stuff like that, and some of those things. But knowledge wasn't the same. Nowadays, you know, people are getting knowledge continually. They just stop and then look at knowledge, and sometimes they run into something while they're getting knowledge, or run into you, or drive into something while they're getting knowledge. But people are continually connected to the knowledge stream. Different things. News is going on all the time. There's just all kinds of stuff that you can stay on. And if some kind of an event happens, around Colorado we have to laugh at it now because most of our weathercasters have been transplanted here from California and Texas and places like that. And so when it snows in the springtime, it becomes a major event. Well, they don't know that those of us that have lived here for a few years, we put up with this all the time, and we don't think it's even strange when it snows in the springtime. But the other day there was a snowstorm, and why, it was the news for 2 days. You know, that's all that was on, was all about that. And you'd see a little news girl standing out beside I-70 and watching cars drive by. She'd reach down and she'd pick up, look at this, it's snow. But you know, what's that do to you? You know, we've lived here a long time. We've seen that all the time. But you realize that, you know, pretty soon you're drawn into the event of something like this. This is an event. We've got a snowstorm. Well, we've always had them. You know, it's nothing different. And then the problem is, you know, that there's also this, what they call spin, that can be put on the news, that things can go on. How many of you know that people don't look about sexuality the way they used to look at it because of what goes on in the media that we have around us? People are all the time telling us that there is a new normal. And anybody that sees the new normal as abnormal is bordering, maybe it's even beyond bordering, he's just plain involved in hate. Have you been paying attention? There's all kinds of spin. Hi, guys. Hi, Bree. Welcome home. There's somebody that came home from Michigan. Amen. So we've got knowledge all around us. Knowledge. But have you ever thought how much that's doing to cause you to assimilate? We begin to think certain ways. The scripture that we started with is so important, because this is one of the key scriptures. What I'm going to teach you today may be one of the most important things that you can learn. If you can get this down, and we've been talking about it a while, it's not like it's just, you know, a brand new thing that's coming up. In fact, there's nothing new. God's had this going for a long time, but we think it's time to talk about it again. But in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, let's read it out loud together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. How many of you know that song? There's a gospel song that says, I walk by faith, each step by faith, to walk by faith, I put my trust in you. Do you ever sing that song? That's a good song. We like to dance to that back and forth. You know, we dance up and down the aisles. I walk by faith. I walk by faith. Each step by faith. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So that kind of does away with, I'll believe it when I see it, doesn't it? That's not faith, is it? When, you know, if you were to walk up here and hand me a $50 bill, I could have been in faith for $50, and you could have handed that to me. But once I have that in my hand, I no longer need faith anymore, do I? It no longer is faith. So when somebody says, I'll believe it when I see it, they're just talking totally naturally. And a natural man, every natural man, demands sensual input. You see what I'm saying? You got to feel it, you got to see it, you got to taste it, you got to touch it. You got to have that or you won't believe it. But God didn't build us to be that way. God made you a spirit being. And as a spirit being, you see deeper. You have eyes, but they're a different kind of eye that can see by faith. You have feet that can walk by faith. You can hear by faith. Everything is according to faith, and faith is a product of what? It's a product of things hoped for, which comes from
hearing.
From hearing what?
The Word.
The Word. From hearing the Word. So everything goes back to, say, Torah. Torah. You say, well, I don't want to get involved in the law. Well, you'll be pleased to know that the word Torah doesn't mean law. The word Torah means instruction or teaching. That's what it literally means. Therefore, when I open this up and I look somewhere between Genesis and Revelation, or all of the verses that go from Genesis to Revelation, I'm reading Torah, God's instruction, God's teaching, God's helping me. So when we say we walk by faith and not by sight, we realize that that is against our natural way of thinking. It really is. Our natural way of thinking. And you think about this with healing, for instance. We believe in healing. The Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. Does that mean you'll never be attacked? No, you'll certainly have attacks. But in the midst of the attack, what is your confession?
By His stripes I was healed.
I was healed. Therefore, if I was, then I am. If I was, then I am. That's good English, isn't it? If I was, then I am. Amen. So in Romans 12 and verse 2, from the good word, God's word translation, it says it like this. Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Don't be like the people of this world, but change the way you think. Then you'll always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So what we have to learn to do is begin to put to use those things that are a part of us, created in us. This is not something you have to develop. God has created it. What you have to do is give it place, give it preeminence in your life. God made you a spirit. That's who you are. The real you cannot be seen. Not in this place, not with these eyes. The real you's inside. I believe it's God-shaped, but I believe it also looks just like you, your spirit. That's your spirit. That's supernatural. But God also gave you a mind, a will, emotions, your conscience, and your imagination that were to be used to contact people round about you and to serve the spirit man in doing so. We've talked about this for the last 3 weeks. People will talk often. You'll hear them talk about the three parts of man, and they believe it. But they'll say body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. What's wrong with that picture? It's backwards. The priorities are wrong. We're spirit, soul, and body. And your body just happens to be the wrapping, the earth suit. It's molded in the shape of everything else, but it's still just the earth suit, just the part that's on the outside. And again, it's for the purpose of contacting on this earth, making contact. So Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." So when we believe and we trust, there's actually something that happens to us, and that is the force of righteousness. How many of you would like to be righteous? Now let me ask you a harder question. How many of you are righteous? Could I see the hands of the righteous? That's right. Why? Are you born again? Let me ask that. How many here are born again? Okay, is there anybody here that's not born again? No? All right, so we're born again. All right, born again people, according to the scripture, have righteousness imputed to them. So you are righteous. Amen. You're already righteous. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As you believe, you are counted as righteous. That's what the scripture said about Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was righteous. That's imputation. The just shall live by faith. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is, you know, if you talk with people all the time and you listen to the way we pray, and most of us pray like this, we find ourselves asking God to do something about things. God, you please do something about this. Please do something about that. Please take care of this and take care of that. And it's understandable that we would do that in a certain way. But did you ever notice that the scripture says that those things that you desire when you pray, you are supposed to believe that you receive them? And really it means to believe that you have received them. And there's a reason for that. The things that we are praying for have already been given unto us. And this, as I say, is one of the most important changing of thoughts that we can do. If we can get into the scripture in such a way that we become so Bible-minded, spirit-minded, will soon be that we'll say, you know, God already did this. God already did this. God did this. So for me to come to God, now listen, I realize I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to get again. When I start talking this way, well, I know there's always going to be a few people that are going to say, but wouldn't it be all right if I just did it this way and that way? I'm trying to get you to just see a new paradigm. It's really not new. It's God's plan and it's been around a long time, but it's new to us. And that is that everything you need has already been given. God's not creating anything new. He doesn't have to. I'll explain it to you. It's all been done. What we need to do is learn to rethink the way we look at everything, and that is that we will be always coming from a place of victory. Amen? Always coming from victory and not thinking, well, if God will just do something, then it'll take care. No, we're already in the victory. We're already abiding. The scripture says if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, you'll ask what you will and it will be done unto us. That's done, isn't it? It's over. If you abide in Him. Why is that? Because in Him everything is done. When He said it's finished, He meant it's finished. It was all finished. It was all completed. It was over. It was done. But we still find ourselves believing to win the battle. The fact is, the battle's been won. When Yeshua came up out of that grave, I want you to know the battle was won. It was over. The victory was won. We need to believe that the battle is won. Listen, you are already blessed. Amen. Everything is already provided. Everything.
Well, I don't see it.
That doesn't make any difference. There's a lot of things you don't see. I had a fellow tell me one time, I was talking to him about the gospel, and he says, well, I just am not built that way. I have to see everything before I can believe it. And I said, Bob, do you have... This guy's name was Bob. You don't know who he is, so don't even try to think. I said, Bob, tell me this. Do you have a television? Absolutely do. I like television. I said, well, tell me this. Do you understand it? Can you see the signals before they get to your set? No, you just function according to certain physical laws. And you obey those physical laws by flipping a switch, making a contact. And suddenly things that don't appear naturally begin to appear to you. Isn't that right? And you don't understand how it works. I don't care. Listen, I know engineers, scientists, and they know things about how stuff works, but they still don't fully understand electricity. Why is that? Because they're working with something they can't see. The very origin of electricity is from something we can't see. How many of you know that the fact that you don't see it doesn't lessen its power? I always like to use that illustration of my sister who made a Kleenex carnation back at... This is back in the old days, too. In fact, today's my sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Judy. And they made this carnation. I don't know how they did it. They folded and tore a Kleenex a certain way, and they stuck it on a bobby pin. And it was on this bobby pin, and it looked like a carnation. And Judy thought it was pretty neat, but she took it over and stuck one prong in one side of the electric outlet and the other prong on the other side. And she had a singed carnation after that, and Judy had permanent. Her hair, no, I didn't really get curly. But you know, we can't see that, but there's power there, right? Tremendous power. And we need to understand that the blessing of God is already yours. When I tell you where it came from, you're going to be amazed. The blessing. How did man get blessed? When did that happen? Think about that for a minute. Here's the thing about coming to this. Well, you know you're already blessed and everything's already provided. It does away with that need to perform to try to get God to do something. Have you ever thought, if I just fast enough, he'll sure do it? If I read the Bible more, God'll have reference, or he'll put me in a place of preference if I just read more. And I go to church more, and I study more, and I pray more. And how many of you pray enough? Could I see the hands of those that pray enough? No, there's no such thing as pray enough. The Bible says we pray without ceasing, right? Without ceasing. You never get to a place where you can say, that's enough, I'm through. No. How many of you have ever read the word enough? Well, you'd never have enough until you were full of it. Couldn't take any more. And we can always take more of the word. In fact, this is where it really should have come up with that dairy farmer's thing about you never outgrow your need for the word, not milk. The word. You never allow it to grow. In fact, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. It does not come by having heard. Now see, that just, we need to get into a different way of doing things. We're talking about a living in rather than a arriving at. Our lives are kind of set up at different arrivals, aren't they? You know, if you stop and think about the different demarcations of your life, there's, walking, talking, potty training, and then you just go on to the different ones, kindergarten. How many of you remember all those different little demarcations and how they were big? Maybe you don't remember all of them. Most of you probably don't remember potty training. But nevertheless, that's the way, since you can look back at little ones and you see those things. And you remember high school graduations, different graduations, and you remember marriage. But everything is looking toward a day. See, in the Lord, it's not really that way. Once you got born again, you stepped from time into eternity. In the Spirit. Scripture says you're seated with Him in heavenly places. And so what we need to start realizing is that we're set in eternity, which is boundless. Boundless. We're not looking at moments and times and and we keep going and going and going. And it's interesting, if you keep going, what do you get to finally? Retirement, and what's the next one? The next big demarcation is you leave this body, right? But that's all right. There's no fear in it, because you see, here, when you begin to realize who you are, we can do away with those. We begin to think different. We're not thinking like the world anymore. We're thinking that everything has to do with what God has already done. Amen. See, the world is set up on this performance-based thing, isn't it? It's all about what we do, how we perform, all of that. And it's in the body, too. The body of Christ is in that. And most of us have to fight that thinking. You know, the enemy will come along, well, you haven't done much today. You haven't prayed much. You haven't done that. Who do you think you are asking God to do something for you? You haven't even prayed today. That's all right. That's all right. He loves me. I'm God's favorite kid. And so are you. Amen. I'm His favorite. He loves me. He loves me. Just like, say that baby's name.
Landon
was sleeping on daddy's lap. That's the way we rest. We rest in Him. Amen. Because He's already done it. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe. Say believe.
Believe.
Believe. What does believe mean? Well, it means more than just mental assent, doesn't it?
It's knowing.
It's knowing. You've got to know, and it's a full knowledge. It's a full-blown knowledge. Must believe that He is, and that He does what? He rewards them that diligently seek Him. We seek Him, but we just believe He is. He is who He says He is. He is who He says He is. How many of you have ever heard this little saying? Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. How many of you have heard that? How many of you would agree with it generally? Would you say, after what we're talking about today, that there may be a better way of putting it?
God did.
God did. He already did. It really is not believing that he can nor will, but that he already has. That's a fact. He already has. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, we have just the salutation of the epistle. As Paul writes to these Ephesian believers, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, how many would agree that that includes born-again people? That's who he's talking about. Everybody knows that saints are believers, right? When we say saints, they're talking sanctified ones. Saints are not plastic statues that you put on your dashboard, right? Saints are you, if you believe in Jesus. You're a saint. And so he's talking here to the saints which are at Ephesus, those believers, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Then he says this, grace be to you and peace and shalom from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, I want you to notice this setting, I want you to notice the tense, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Has he? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I believe the New Living Translation says with all earthly and spiritual blessings. The best way to understand is this is to all of the blessings that the Holy Spirit pours out upon us. The reason I say that is because some people always like to spiritualize everything. Well, he's given us spiritual blessings, but we're still here and we have to eat dirt. And we, you know, everything's rough. But we've got spiritual blessings because when this life's over, we'll have heaven. Well, I want you to know that there's truth that you will have heaven in spite of all the problems you have here. But God has made a way for you to be blessed in the here and the now. And those blessings have been given. That's what I want you to see. Can you say that? That's what the scripture says. He hath blessed us with all blessing, all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And in Genesis 1:28, who remembers what that says? It said God made, in the 26th and 27th verse, God made a male and female. And in the 28th verse, it says, and God blessed them. And God blessed them. This was the beginning of this blessing that we're talking about. It was completed in Yeshua. Why? Because even though Adam was blessed by God, Adam sold out. And Yeshua had to restore. Jesus had to give it back. So what we're dealing with here is people that have been blessed since Genesis 1:28. And when was that? Adam was laying on the ground, fully constructed, but no life. And the Bible said, and God blessed him. What did he do? He breathed, and as he breathed, he said, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and have dominion in it. That's the blessing of God. Same blessing has been going on continually. It was lost when Adam gave it over to Hasatan in the garden. It was restored by God even before Adam got out of the garden, but he began to look for Noah, and he found Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God spoke the same blessing over him. And then God spoke the same blessing to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and then to the 12 sons. He spoke that same blessing. And through that commonwealth of Israel, we've been grafted in, and that same blessing is it in operation in us today. We're blessed. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Amen. Amen. You're blessed. Every day of your life. What does that tell you if we're talking about a new way of thinking about the way you ought to conduct yourself every day of your life? How many of you are going to have any more down days? No more down days. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that you cannot be under an attack, that you can't have problems. You can have problems. But I heard a fellow say the other day, and I think I could just about say it with him. He said, for the past 33 and a half years, I believe is what he said, I have not been depressed. And I would have to say that I can't maybe say the exact days, but I would say maybe longer than that. I have not been depressed. Everybody look at me. I haven't been depressed. No, we're not talking about that at all. What am I talking about? I'm talking about making a choice when those excellent opportunities to be depressed come along. How many of you know that excellent opportunities for depression come along and discouragement come along and bad things happen? But you know what? If you'll just mark the way you think, you can change the way you think about everything, because you can see past the event that would cause discouragement. Amen. And you can say
confidently,
with the word of God, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Abraham was persuaded that God was able. Amen. Are you persuaded? Amen. Say, I'm persuaded.
I'm persuaded.
Praise God. That's the changing. That's coming to this new place. Now, Paul, in fact, if you look at Ephesians, this is kind of the premise of this book, this letter that he wrote to these people. He was trying to get them to come out of this place of living in natural conditions and moving into a supernatural recognition that everything was already done. When you pray, think about this. Now, when you pray, how do you pray? Well, here's the way to pray. This is the right way to pray. In fact, this is called the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, most people would tell you from Ephesians 6, is the Word of God. Not accurate at all. It is the Word of God, but that's not the finish of it. The Scripture says it is the Word of God praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Spirit. So the sword of the Spirit, how many of you know? In fact, some of you probably had this used against you more like a brickbat. Somebody come up and say, this is what you need to be doing. If you do this, you wouldn't be having these problems. No, 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 that doesn't feel good at all. But God's two-edged sword of the Spirit that goes out of his mouth, that he has ordained that you should speak after him, it becomes like a fine physician's instrument. And it divides between the soul realm and the spirit realm. And it brings the truth of God's word out. And so we begin to pray. We're praying for healing. How do we pray for healing? Oh, Lord, please heal me. I deserve healing. I know that you wanted me healed. No, that's not a good way to heal or to pray. It won't get you healed either. I said this one time, and you know, maybe it needs a little bit of backing down on. But I said, God's not moved by your needs, nor how well you express your needs. But he is moved by our infirmities. He is moved by us and our infirmities. But what really moves God? That's right. Trust. So when I pray for healing, I don't come to God and say, Lord, I feel like a sore throat's coming on, and I really ask you to take this from me. I don't pray that way. If I pray for you, I'm not going to pray that way. If you walked up here and told me that I've been under attack, I'm going to pray like this. Lord, your word says that you took our infirmities, that you bore our sicknesses. Your word says that you took our sins and iniquities on the tree, and by your stripes we were healed. Amen. That's my prayer. What am I doing? I'm not speaking my need, I'm speaking my faith in His already given provision. Already given. See, the problem is not getting God to do something. The problem is just getting your receiver working so you receive what He's already done. Amen? If you can change your attitude about this, you'll change the way you think about every day of your life. Paul, as he was dealing with these Ephesian people, and by the way, I believe the way this is addressed, it's talking to me too, because he's talking to the saints in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's me and you. In Ephesians 1:16, he tells them, he says, I pray for you, and he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is what he's talking about, this same thing we're talking about. God would give you this wisdom and revelation. Why? Because what I'm talking about today, I can give you a bunch of scriptural premises for what I'm saying, but if God doesn't work in your life and you receive this in such a way that He reveals it to you, you'll walk out of here with notes. You can write them down and you got them all written out. But I'll tell you what, this works by revelation. This works when the Holy Spirit, when all of a sudden He goes, wow, I see it. There it is. It's there. I got it. And this is what He's praying about, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. There you go, right there. That's revelation, isn't it? Your understanding is full of light. I have light in my understanding. That I may know, say no. That I may know. Remember the words in the Greek? What are those words? No. Gnosko. Epigenosko. Gnosko means to fully know. It means to have revelation of. And how does that happen? Well, somebody says it's like magic. Well, it seems like magic sometimes, but I'll tell you what it is. It comes through that hearing and hearing. Let's all go back to our own experiences here with the Word of God. How you've read some scriptures over and over and over and over again. You may have read through the Bible 35 times in the last 25 years. But here's the point. You'll still come to places where all of a sudden you say, I never saw that before. There it is. I see it. I know that now. I have knowledge of that. And that's the Holy Spirit working in His Word. Bringing life in this living Word. Giving you the life in you to understand and to receive it. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling? We talk about God, the hope of His calling. What is that? What does it look like? The hope of His calling. You ought to have a way to think this through. What does the hope of God's calling look like? Well, I said last week that one of the best ways for a human being to understand hope is through a blueprint. You see, a blueprint. And by the way, blueprints nowadays are amazing. You know, in fact, most blueprints can get 3D and pictorial and all kinds of stuff. They can really be good. Well, God can do it better than that yet, you know. But here's the point. God will make it so that the things that concern you are just start to become clearer. You just see, you receive this over in this part, so it doesn't happen all at once. It comes up into your mind. But in the spirit man, you already know God's plan for you. And that would be another way of putting this. God's plan for you. How many of you know He has foreordained certain things for you? Say, I have a destiny. Have you ever thought about that? Every one of God's creation have a destiny. Do they have to come up to the destiny? No. There's choice. Choice comes in. But God has destined you for something. What is that? It in every one of us, it comes to the same thing, but what is it? To be conformed to the image of His Son. That's it. that you would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, religion just can't take that. Religion just can't take that. Oh, I'll never be like my Jesus. The Bible says that's what God has predestined you to be, is conformed to the image of His Son. And so the working, and what Paul's praying for here, is that you would first of all be able to receive this and see that this is what God's got planned for you. The hope of His calling includes you becoming conformed to the image of Jesus. Looking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus, walking like Jesus. And how did Jesus talk and walk? He says, I do nothing without my Father. I do nothing without the Father. So every place Jesus went, I'm convinced Jesus didn't do anything, because that's what He said. In other words, every direction He went, every step He took, every person He dealt with, He did it with the Father. I'm being conformed. Say, I'm being conformed to the image of His Son. I have a destiny. And that destiny is to come into this. You say, This sounds like too much. Well, that's the kind of God we serve. He's a God of too much. He said He wants your eyes to be open to this, that you would know what is the hope of His calling. And then He says, and by the way, it's not just the plans that I have for you, it's the riches that I've given to get it done. He says, and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Every physical, every spiritual, every mental need you have, God is willing to has supplied. He has already supplied it for you. He's willing. He's already given it. What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness? Verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, to both? Let me start over. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us word, we don't normally talk like that, who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Do you believe there's mighty power working in you?
Yes.
Right now. Well, if I pray long enough, I think I could lay hands on somebody. No, you don't have to lay hands on somebody after you pray. Praying's good. I like praying. But it doesn't have to do with how much you pray. It doesn't have to do with how close you get to Him. He's already living inside of you. The part of you that's giving you problems is your thinking. Well, like I told the fellow when I was first born again and I was in the hospital, he was in the hospital, and I was going to lay hands. And I said, I don't want you to think I can do anything, but I'll pray for you. I don't know if you like that kind of faith type or not, but I, you know, now that I look back on it, I know how stupid it was, you know? The fact is, God's put inside of you His miracle-working, healing power. Amen. Amen. Everything you need. Let's look at one more scripture and I'll finish this up with you. I think probably 25 years ago, by the way, I was telling Steve and Joey and Kristen today that I've been ministering here, it'll be 30 years in July. This will be 30 years that I've been pastor here. I've been with this church a lot longer than that, but 30 years that I've been the senior pastor here in July of this year. And I think probably 25 years ago, I would roughly say it was that, I must have taught for a year or longer on the scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Actually, we're going to start with verse 1, but that's where I started. I don't know if you know about me or not, but I don't move through the scripture fast. If the Lord gives us something to talk about, it, we camp there for a while. Amen? And that's all right. If you camp in a place, how many of you know that you get to know the trails a little better? And how many of you know that you can't sit here right now and look up here at Mount Craig, which is fondly called Baldy, and say, boy, I know Baldy. I've seen Baldy. No, you've just seen what you can see from here. And some of you may have even climbed up it. I never have. But if you climbed up, you know, you still wouldn't have seen it, would you? Because there's a lot of different angles to come at it. right? And it's the same way with this national park around here, you know. Lived here for 40 years, and I don't know much about the national park. I know a few trails. You get favorites, and you go up certain places. And even then, I go up one I've been up a dozen times and or more, and there's new things. You know, maybe you go just a little further the next time. And this is the way God's Word is. It's infinitely deep. There are so many different views. There is so much to see, so much to absorb, so much to live. Amen? And that's what we're looking at here. And so when we take the Word of God, you know, you might say, well, I heard him preach on that last time. Well, I'm going to guarantee it wasn't the same message you're going to hear this time. It's just the way God does things. I used to try to do these deals where we'd do two services and try to preach the same. I can't preach the same message twice. It just doesn't work. Now, it would be easy if I had a manuscript, but I can't do that. This is what we call notes. And it's, you know, it's scripture verses. And, you know, God's Word has a way of, once it starts to come out my mouth, it goes different ways. He says different things. And I like it that way. I find that there's so much depth and so much wonder in it, you know, that it never gets boring to me. If I bore you, I'm sorry. But it's just always alive. It's always exciting. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he speaks this blessing, grace and peace. Same thing he said to the Ephesians, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is where it comes from, knowledge. Knowledge. Somebody says, oh, I like knowledge. You know, I've got a PhD. PhD. Brother Hagin said, after years and years of listening to PhD people, said, I always wondered what that meant, but he says, I think in some cases it must mean post hole digger. No, we know what it means. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the kind of knowledge we're talking about here. We're talking about the knowledge of God. And how does that come? It comes by hearing and hearing and through the working of the Holy Spirit bringing revelation. Revelation. And that's what we're talking about, this full knowledge. This grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power. This is what God has done. This is what he has already done. His divine power hath given. Say, hath given.
Hath given.
In King James, it's clear, isn't it? He hath given it. If you were going to say it today, you'd still say it the same way. Or you might say it with a little different vernacular, has already given, right? He has already given unto us, what? What?
All.
How could he give us all? It says he did. He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto and godliness. Life and godliness. Now, I want you to think about things that would be outside of that group of life and godliness. What would they be? If it's not life and godliness, what would it be?
Death and destruction.
Death and ungodliness, right? Yeah. It would be bad things. It would be something you wouldn't want, right? But if it has to do with life and godliness, do you have to ask God to give it to you?
He's already given it.
So what's the problem?
Do I believe what his word says?
Do I believe it? Which is God's method of receiving. Remember what he said? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's how it happened. You believe it. How do you believe it? It doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens through hearing, hearing, and hearing, and suddenly. And suddenly the Holy Spirit reveals. And when he reveals, I'll tell you what, nobody can take it away from you. A man with an experience is never under the rule of one with just an argument. Right? There's a lot of people with arguments around, but if you've experienced the power of God, if you've known the power of God, it can't be taken away from you. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Would you think maybe that that would equate to the same thing that it was called back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, where it was called all spiritual blessings? Yeah. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Again, he goes back to this. This is the way you get it. It's through knowing. Through knowing. So when you know that you know that you know, how do you pray? What do your prayers sound like when you already know? That's what they begin to do, don't they? You make your request known unto God with thanksgiving. You're talking to him about what's already been given, so you just thank him for it. I thank you that it's mine. I choose. Say, I choose.
I choose
to believe it. I choose to walk in this. I choose to receive it. But I feel kind of down. Well, what are you going to do about that? You got a choice. I feel kind of down. Well, you can go lay down and let it take over, or you can say, no way. No way. I have authority. What do I have in this earth? Dominion, which equates to authority. I have authority over this thing.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I like that.
On earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness. There's none of that stuff in heaven.
That's right.
See, and that's how Jesus taught us to pray.
That's right. Come, kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come, will of God.
Thy kingdom.
And
God,
your will be done.
And your will is not for us to be sick or challenged. Yeah. Or it's to have the victory that he sent.
Amen.
To do greater things than he did,
Amen.
Is what he told us.
Yeah.
And taking every thought captive. Oh, I feel down. Wait a minute. It's very simple. Does this pertain to life and godliness? it's very elementary. If say law or pause.
That's right. If you'll just
take it to Holy Ghost jail or something.
You know, we like to think that we're being logical sometimes, and sometimes we're very illogical in the way we view God's word. Because we, again, we're saying, we'll get up and we'll shout, somebody will say, we walk by faith and not by sight. And everybody will shout and say, amen. And then right after that, they're coming along. Well, you know, I've been having a lot of problems. Would you pray for me that God would do something about it? I've been praying, but I haven't felt anything. Well, you know, sometimes you don't feel anything. We talked about that a while back. You know, some of the most powerful things I've seen done, I didn't feel anything.
Jesus wasn't feeling Calvary, you know, according to what happened in Gethsemane.
No, that's...
He wasn't feeling anything.
That's right.
You know, but that's a good point. Did he say in the end? Not my will, but thy will.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
I was thinking, too, we just watched a film, just a lighthearted, fun film. What was it, Cowgirls and Angels or something? But the premise of it is this adoption process of when an adopted child either has a point in time where they accept their adopted family as their family through their heart and love, or they keep rebelling against it, trying to figure out who they are. And it's like, I've been thinking about that a lot as you're speaking. It's... We've been adopted into this, and we can either accept the Father and His and all that He's given us through the inheritance, or we can fight against it constantly. Hey, and but how real that is! How often we reject Him as our Father.
Yes,
and the Lord says there's many mansions there, and that's now. That's now. For us to have now.
That's right,
and to partake in that and. Oh, you just want to go, huh? But do we accept that inheritance, you know, that it's speaking about, and walk in that power that he's given us?
Amen. It's all about your choice to accept, your choice to take what's already been given. In fact, if we go on into the fourth verse, it says, whereby are given unto us, are what?
Given.
Are given. If they are given, then how many know God doesn't take back what he gives? In fact, the Bible tells us even if he's called you to something and you for some reason been disobedient, you've gone off and done something else, his gifts and his callings are without repentance. He hasn't given up on you. He still has the same plan. He still wants to do the same thing in you that he's always wanted to do. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're already there. That by these you might be what? Partakers of his divine nature. Participants. Partaking in what he's already done. Say he's already done. And by doing that, the scripture says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Well, think about it, you know. What would lust be? Lust would be saying, I want, gimme, 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 that 10th commandment. Remember how we look at the 10 fingers? Gimme, 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 gimme. That's lusting after, wanting, wanting, wanting. Well, you couldn't do that if you truly believe all things have already been given. It takes away, doesn't it? Takes away. And you're a partaker with the Father. Participating in him. Amen? So here's the thing we do. We start believing. We just start. We make a choice. Somebody said, well, lay hands on me that this will happen to me. No. You just start believing it right now. It's up to you. You can believe it. You can reject it. Think about some of the songs we sing. And this is one of the most beautiful songs. This is a beautiful song. But think about this song. This song says, I'm desperate for you. That's a pretty song. Did you ever listen? That's a beautiful song. But did you know that's a bad word? I'm desperate? Now, I realize that probably some people, when they sing that, in their mind are thinking something different. But you know, we should be accurate. I'm desperate for you. You know what desperate means? It means out of control with anger and rage and going to make something happen. I'm desperate. Desperation causes bad things. We're not desperate. He's already given it to us. Isn't that right?
You know what's hard about this day? I'm taken back to the book of Acts.
Yeah, okay, go.
Because physically we're not seeing this mm-hmm. demonstrated mm-hmm. in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. As much as faith was building in the ecclesia at
right.
that time.
Right.
I'm just moved to that place where, you know, in Acts 2, 45 and 46, it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And oftentimes we pray for each other's need, but we don't really meet the need
mm-hmm.
where we could.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't function that way right now.
Right.
But these, and then it goes on to say, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart. And Paul is always saying, my prayer for you is to be like-minded.
That's right.
That like-mindedness.
Unity. Absolutely.
That, and we sang that song this time and last week
right.
too, and it's been
right.
hitting me. And it's and then we sang today, they'll know us by our love. And it's like, how can we do that better? You know,
right.
Lord, how can we do that better to exemplify, manifest physically what we're talking about spiritually?
Yeah.
How can we be that fruit?
Right.
You know, and that's just challenging myself in community.
It should challenge all of us because, you know, what we would say today, we would make some excuses. Well, this is a different era.
Right.
We live at a different time and we have different things going on. And besides that, there's food stamps and there's
right.
and the government will take care of all of your needs
yeah.
according. Wait a second,
instead
the government's not doing
it. That's why we
right.
have the boondoggle
right.
we have in the government.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter, again, of making a choice about what the Word of God says. And I'm convinced that the reason we don't see it is because we don't expect it.
Mm.
We would begin to see it if we begin to expect it. If we would walk in it, if we would make choices in that way. And, you know, here's the same thing that we're talking about through everything else. If in every situation we hear with the Father and act with the Father and speak with the Father, which is what Yeshua did, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be a problem, would it?
Because it reveals the unbelief in our own heart.
That's right.
Right? God says, you see this woman? You have $500 in the bank. I want you to give it to me. Oh, but wait, Lord. I've got $497 in bills. And, you know, I'll give her $49. We start to reason, mm-hmm. and it's that they saw in Acts, they saw the power of God.
That's right.
Jesus, whatever he needed, where was it? It was there.
Yeah.
That's something that's very poignant, mm-hmm. that he didn't have to grasp and have.
That's right.
He knew that all things that he needed was provided by
Amen.
The Father.
Amen. Amen. Just what it says. God has given mm-hmm. exceeding great in promises, but by these you might be partakers Amen. Of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption mm-hmm. that's in the world through lust. So, let's just finish it up like this. Let's just all make a decision.
Yes.
I'm going to start believing. I'm going to start receiving. You know, if depression tries to set in, what are you going to do?
Speak back to it.
Cast it down.
That's right. You just have to tell it no. Tell it no. Stop it. Somebody says, yes, but Pastor, you don't understand. This is clinical. This has a physical. Now, listen, I'm saying you make the decisions. You make the decisions. Mm-hmm. Cast it away. Cast it down. Choose. It's done.
The great part of it is, as we start to get a hold of these truths, we're always focusing on, oh, well, the depression, or this is coming up, or that's coming up. As we're able to walk in these things, and we're assured of these things, then we're able to get to other people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, Amen. So often the fight's in our own head, and this, that, and the other. He wants that to be over. He wants us to walk in the assurance. So that we can give to others.
Sure.
So that others can be loved and see.
Amen.
And I think that's where he's bringing it. Well, Amen. That's I know it's absolutely Amen. That's where he wants to bring us to share that love with others. We're so busy struggling trying to get my Christian walk together or whatever it is. And I got to do A, B, C, you know I'm this D. You know, that kind of thing. That's not it.
No.
It's just that assurance.
That's right.
Like you say, it's already done. It is finished. He's sitting down. He's done.
Amen. That's right. Jesus is seated. Jesus is seated. It's done. It's finished.
Well, after he rose from the dead, he didn't do any more miracles.
That's right.
It's kind of like, here's right. the keys, guy.
That's right.
Here's the keys, you guys.
Amen.
I'm out. You know?
That's right.
It's interesting we talk about rest, too, because he said in Hebrews 4:3-4, it says, if you don't rest in me, you'll fall into unbelief.
Yep. That's right.
And it has everything to do with that. And that you were talking Perfect. Last week about Shabbat. Being sanctified and holy for a purpose, so that we would maintain that belief.
That's right.
It was for our good, not a burden. But man, if we don't rest in Him, you can't be assured. You can't be assured if you're not watered by His Word. So
That's right.
It's all kind of fit.
It's either letting Him take care of it and believing that it's done, or
worrying.
That's right, worrying about it when you can't do anything about it.
How's that working?
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful that you are in control and that you have already done it. We believe that you've already given what we need. We believe that everything we need is already ours. We believe it's ours because we know the completeness of who you are. You are the one and only. You are the all-sufficient God. You're the more-than-enough God. You're the grace-giving, merciful, loving God. We praise you because we know who you are. Lord, we know your faithfulness. We trust in it. We trust in your faithfulness, Father. We thank you for it. And we praise you for it. We bless you in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands in the air. Put them right straight up. What I want you to do is become a target. Amen. You want to be a target. You want to be a target for the Lord. Hallelujah. God's got a smart sight on you. He's ready. And this is what this blessing is all about. God's got his focus on you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmor. Yaish. I'm having a hard time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ivarekaka Adonai Vaish Mareka. Yair Adonai Panavaleka Vikanika. Yis Adonai Panavaleka Vyasem Lacha Shalom. And now Yahweh will bless you. Yahweh makes his face shine upon you and is gracious unto you. Yahweh will lift you up in his countenance. And Yahweh will give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everybody that received it said, Amen. Amen.